You are listening to a message brought to you by Christian Life Church Leinster. To find out more about us, go to www.clch.cc.
It's great to be with you. I'd love to be part of our church plants, to go to Ross, to come to Leinster. I enjoy every time. I was so enjoyed this morning. And I too felt the flute was inspired today. And I've heard you play the flute before, but I felt that it was like God was speaking through the flute. Not necessarily I understood the words, but God was, you know, it says in the Bible, God sings over us. And it's felt like that to me through the flute. So I'm here with my wife, Adriana. So say hello to everybody. And our two girls. Yeah, we planted Ross 7 or 8 years ago with our girls, Gabriella and Natasha, and they're worshipping in Hereford where we normally worship. Yeah, and I remember the first time we leafleted the area in our first Sunday meeting. They expected lots of people to come just because we put a leaflet, and no visitors came. So the next week they said, no, I think we'll stay in Hereford. It's a challenge, but God gives us strength. Okay, so this year we have a theme for our preachers and for our church. Hopefully you know what it is. Can anybody tell me what the theme is this year?
Go.
Great, good. Go and make disciples. And we're in a series called, can anybody tell what it's called? Or is it not up on the screen yet? Yeah, you saw that. The stick series we're in is called? Sorry, to come with a test straight off. Seems a bit harsh, doesn't it? So I'll tell you, the kingdom over everything. And today, Jason has asked me to speak the last in this series, I think, verses 10 and 11. And so the title for my series, like my preach today, is Isaiah 61, verse 10 and 11. This is quite catchy. So I'm going to preach those two verses mainly. And sorry to ask you a question again. Does anybody know why we're using Isaiah 61 to preach the series The Kingdom Over Everything when Isaiah 61 doesn't actually mention the word kingdom? Does anybody know? Has Jason explained that to you? Okay, just to give a bit of context of this chapter, is that Jesus talked a lot about the kingdom of God. Sometimes said the kingdom of God, sometimes said the kingdom of heaven. And this is not a phrase that was ever used in the Old Testament. But Hebrew scholars, when they were studying the Old Testament, they looked at scriptures like Isaiah 61, and they saw a theme. And the theme was that there seemed to be promised a future time of great prosperity, of great blessing, of good news for the poor, binding up the broken heart, and all that we've read in Isaiah 61. And they saw that God was going to bring this time, and they called this time the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. And the other thing they saw was that the scriptures seemed to point to a person that would be God's anointed king, servant, ruler, that would bring in this wonderful time called the kingdom of God. And they called this person Messiah. So you won't find the word Messiah in the Old Testament, I don't think. Somebody might correct me. But it's not a common word. But there's a theme there where they're looking forward to this person that would bring in this theme. So when Jesus, in the start of his ministry, is handed the roll of the scroll of Isaiah and opens up in Isaiah 61 and starts to read, and then he reads a few verses, and then at the end he says, "This scripture is fulfilled today in your presence." The people listening understood. He's saying, Messiah's come. And they're saying the kingdom of God is here. And he preached. That message that he preached is, the kingdom of heaven is here. And him and his disciples preached that. And so they understood he was announcing this new age that was written in the scriptures. And that is what he did. And that's what we're to do. His gospel, his good news, was the good news of the kingdom of God. Okay, so this is the context of Isaiah 61. When it comes into the New Testament and Jesus preached, They understood this was about the Messiah. And the Messiah in the New Testament, which was written in Greek, is Christ. Jesus Christ, Jesus the Messiah. So, this is probably the last question I'll ask you. It sounds like a test. What would you say is the main purpose for Christians? What's the vision statement? What's the mission statement? What are we here for? Tell people about Jesus. Anything else? Any other? You all agree? To love people?
Be the
hands and feet of Jesus, yeah?
Help people.
Help people. Right, all on that theme. Anything else? Glorify God. Share his gospel. So a lot on the theme of share his gospel. What about Jesus said? He said the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. If that's the greatest commandment, isn't that the thing? So is it the Great Commission to go and tell, go and make disciples of all nations? Or is it to love God with all our heart? Which is it? Which is the main thing? Second, which did I say? You're right. You say, yeah. So I'm going to look into that a bit. So I'm going to read Isaiah 61. I'm going to get to the point in a minute of Isaiah. And I'm going to read the last two verses, which is 10 and 11. Up to this point, the first nine verses have been quite missional, talking about proclaiming good news, binding up the brokenhearted, releasing captives, rebuilding, very missional. This is what we're going to do. And then it seems to kind of change a bit. And in verses 10 and 11, he says this, and I'm going to read this now. 10 and 11. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of his righteousness, as a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the soil makes the young plant come up, and as a garden causes seed to grow, so the sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up before all nations. So the focus I'm going to bring today is about rejoicing and delighting in the Lord. Now we seem to have, I would say, in the Great Commission, the Great Commandment, and what we see in these verses, like two contrasting ideas. The idea of campaigning for justice, for taking the gospel, for bringing the kingdom of God in, which is very missional, but also this idea of rejoicing and delighting and resting in God. And they seem to be perhaps a bit contrary, but I have to believe they're not, because they're both in the Bible, but they're a bit contrasting. But I believe they're two things that complement each other well. And I believe the pattern is that we go and make disciples from a place of resting in God. It's not that we're resting from the effort of go, we're resting to go. And we're resting in God, not resting in ourselves, but we're knowing our rest is in God. And so really the thrust of what I want to bring today is to make time in your life to simply delight and rejoice in God. And if you're a doer, that can be hard, because you want to be out there going and doing. And that's part of what we're called to. It says that if books were written of everything that Jesus did and said, that the whole world would not contain the books. He did a lot. So let's have a look at this verse. He starts off saying, I delight greatly in the Lord, my soul rejoices in my God. This is just about relationship for me with God. One day heard somebody talk about what friendship is, what a friend is. And they said it like this. The doorbell rings and you open the door, and the person on the doorstep is somebody, is a friend, and your heart delights that they're there. You want to be with them rather than your heart drops that this person has come to your door. A friend is somebody that is easy to be with. that is delightful to be with. Jesus said to his disciples and to us, I do not no longer call you servants, I call you friends. God is our friend. He wants us to be friends, not just a servant, but a friend. I want to say he wants us to delight in him, to be that one that relaxes in his presence, like we relax in the presence of a friend, and be at ease in his presence. Just as we sang that last song, that we want to be those that that sit at his feet and are in his presence. And it's about who he is for us and not what he can do for us. And, you know, with friends, you can relax, you can open your heart. It's not about this person is needy. No, this person is my friend. We just share life. God wants us to have that relationship with us. And I want to say that when we knock on the door of God and say, I want to spend time, he delights in us. It's not just that we delight in him, which is what this is about. He delights in us. He loves it when we come to him and spend time with him. And he wants us to delight in God and have that time with him. And the next part of the verse says, he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of his righteousness, as a bride adorns his head like a priest, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For me, this speaks about remembering what he's done for us. As we come into presence, we're thankful and grateful for what he has already done for us. That he's given us righteousness. He's given us those clothes. That we are clothed in holy garments so that we are fit to come into his presence without shame and guilt. We have a rags-to-riches story in God, that we have been clothed in rich garments of salvation. We are loved, utterly, utterly loved, completely. We are united with Christ. We are washed from our sins. Amen? What a beautiful thing. And sometimes we need just to remind us that we're not constantly, we need to remind ourselves that we are washed, we are clean, we are as children, sons and daughters of the King. Don't we forget it? Don't we get into striving? Do we get into that pattern that Jason was talking about this, you know, some religions, it's about striving and being good enough for God. We're never good enough for God, but God has provided a saviour. This verse talks about intimacy with God, like a bride and a bridegroom. Intimacy, acceptance. This is our relationship with God. We need to remind us that's the basis of our relationship. Then it goes on to talk about verse 11. For as the soil makes the young plant come up, and as a garden causes seed to grow, so the sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up before all nations. This speaks to me about growing God without striving in our own strength. The plant grows because the soil gives it nourishment. As the soil makes the young plant come up, and a garden causes seed to grow, so the sovereign Lord brings forth righteousness. He causes us to grow as we abide in him. It makes me think of Jesus talked in John about the vine and the branches. He said, we are the branches. We need to be connected to the vine. We need to abide in him. We need to draw our strength from him, rather than look to ourselves. A branch on its own can bear no fruit. We need to abide in the vine, growing without striving. I think it's also important in the context of what I'm saying about delighting in God is that we prioritize being with Jesus over working for Jesus. Both are important. When I say when we work, we actually work with Jesus, not for Jesus. There's a story in Luke you'll probably know quite well. Luke 10 says this. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. But notice that what Martha was doing was not unnecessary things. It says she was doing what had to be done. It wasn't something unnecessary, it had to be done. It makes me, and to be honest, I do feel for sorry. If I'd been Jesus, I would have, yes, said, help her. And then we have got time to talk. I feel very much for Martha in this. And I'd also wonder whether she was, because of the culture, she was almost certain she was preparing a meal. And I do wonder whether Jesus ate it in the end, because she'd made it and it was necessary. It seems a bit harsh that you would eat it after saying that, but I do wonder. These are things that had to be done. They were unnecessary things. But Jesus said, sometimes even the necessary things, you need to stop to spend time with God and just be at his feet. When do you think you will come to the end of the things that have to be done in your life? Never. There always will be something you have to do. And if you're a real doer, you will just be pulled into those. Isn't that true, Adriana? Adriana's a doer. I can always find time to sit on the sofa and watch telly. But that's not what Jesus is calling us to do. He's calling us to spend time with him and be at his feet. Because that's where we get our strength from. That's where we get our go from. So some examples in the Bible. Example of David was a king who achieved so much. He was a doer, he was a fighter, he was a warrior, he was a ruler. He had a lot to do. But he says in Psalm 27, verse 4, one thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and seek him in his temple. Dwell in the house of the Lord and gaze on his beauty. That seems like a waste of time, doesn't it? You won't find that in any self-help book. You know, I've got a book called Getting Things Done. I know I read it, I've got time. But I've got it. And sometimes, you know, Psalm 1 says, meditates on the law of the Lord, he will produce fruit and seeds. He will prosper in all he does. It's counter-cultural, counter to our normal ways. We have to take time to rest in God. Paul, in the New Testament, he was a guy that advanced the gospel, it seems, more than any of the other apostles. And he took the gospel throughout Europe, the southern Europe. He was always on the go. He was an amazingly active apostle and evangelist. He says this in Philippians 3, verse 8. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost everything. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ. His goal ultimately was to be in Christ, to be found in Christ, to know Christ. Not all his achievements, but to know Christ. Jesus had a very busy schedule. He was always doing the work of God. But he took time out to pray, to be with his Father. And it says he only did what he saw the Father doing. So he needed to stop and look at what Father was doing. Because sometimes there were things he needed to not do, because that's not what the Father had done. There will always be stuff to fill your time. People will give you it, but you need to know to rest in God and do what the Father is doing. So really, what I wanted to say that this morning is simply this. My appeal is that we take time in our life to simply delight and rejoice in God. To take that time to be with our friend Jesus. To be with our Father. To let him remind us that we're his children. To just delight in him. To gain strength from him. And from that place go. But not go. Not fear we ever have to go and do and earn anything from God. That he's given us everything. And so when I look at those two verses, it seems in stark contrast to the mission of the first nine verses, which is go. And that is what we hold in balance. But as I said, I'm going to repeat it again. My appeal is don't forget our times to just delight in God and gain strength from him. Amen. And that really is the message. I want to pray. Often as I'm preparing, I say, God, what is a specific I need to pray for? You want to minister it into hearts. And usually God gives me something. But I felt God say, just to pray the kingdom of God to come and let God sort out what that means for you. You know, this chapter starts off with the Spirit of the Lord is on me. And I felt the Spirit today. It's by the Spirit, God touches our hearts and lives by the power of the Spirit. And I want to just pray. My prayer is going to be quite simple. For the kingdom of God to come, the Holy Spirit come, and to do what he wants to do. And maybe God will give words. Maybe God will speak. Jenny earlier said about a plough. She saw a picture of a plough. I know that, I don't know much about farming. I know that often fields are ploughed every year. But there's also another type of plough that goes very deep. And often will bring up rocks that are very deep or will turn over the soil that has perhaps been compressed for a long time. And so, sometimes God does that in our lives, where he goes very deep to things that are hidden, brings up rocks in our lives and deals with them. I've never done this, but I understand that sometimes when you do this deep ploughing, that a bit of a smell comes up. And so it can be hard in our lives. It can be unpleasant. God can reveal things. But God never does that to hurt us, although it might hurt. His heart is to do healing. So that may be speak to some people here. Oh, Father, I want to pray. Father, your kingdom come right now by the power of your Spirit into our hearts and lives. I pray that you do what you want to do this morning. You speak. I pray that you would start off seeds of thoughts and seeds of thinking that's going to really radically change lives and plant seeds right now as you're speaking into people's hearts. Father. Father, I pray that you would, by your Spirit, comfort brokenhearted. If there's any brokenhearted here, comfort those who mourn. Father, I pray for anybody who's suffering a spirit of heaviness. You give them garments of praise. You give praise for despair. Father, we know that only your Spirit does this. Jesus, you're the one for whom it was said, the Spirit of the Lord is on me, and your Spirit is here today. Come and pray that you come and minister to hearts that need your Spirit to comfort those that mourn. Father, I just want to pray in Jesus' name your peace upon any troubled hearts. Jesus, you said to Martha, you are troubled about many things. Father, I pray that you would bring peace to many things, Father, to hearts that has got so many things. Father, bring your peace, Lord. In Jesus' name.